this YouTube video, and it said Black Friday. Did anybody go venture out on Black Friday, which started on Black Thursday today because we had to get ahead of it, right? I participated in online stay away from the crowds week during that week. But there's Black Friday in it, and it had American Black Friday. And of course, everybody's, you know, they've got their tents and they're camping out and they're all out front. And then they open the doors and, you know, people are carrying children over their backs by the legs, you know, and trying to keep them safe. People are trampling all over the place, and it's a wreck. And if you've been part of one of these things, it's like, it's very dangerous. Don't get between mama and her 55-inch TV kind of deal or whatever. So you got that going on. And then it said a Canadian Black Friday. And they open the doors, and a very white, cold dude comes in. Okay, here, you would have come here. Come on, let's go. And then they're walking in, and then everybody's looking around. Nobody's trampling anybody. Nobody's harmed. Nobody lit a fire in Walmart like they did in Cedar Park or anything like that. I mean, it was just these calm, calm people. It's amazing. But that's not how we roll in America, man. You know, we're going to go get the deal. And it's a pretty cool thing. We spend Thursday thanking God for all that we have and all that we have possessed. And then the next day, we're beating people up to get more. So that's the way America works. It is estimated this time, for the first time, we're going to break the $1 trillion mark, probably due to inflation, but we're going to break the $1 trillion mark on Christmas gifts and Christmas giving. You want to hear an interesting statistic? I still don't believe this. I've checked it out and I still don't believe it. $60 billion with a B. $60 billion spent last year by Americans on their pets. On their pets. Just to lavish the love on their pets. Now, I love my dog. Have you met my dog? My dog's the greatest dog. Oh, she's a great dog. We figured out yesterday that when football comes on, she's always skittish and she's always cowering in the corner. She acts really weird. But we figured out, finally, her name is Auburn. And so we're screaming, "Come on, Auburn! Dang it! Cow, you fumble it! Come on, Auburn!" So she's like, "What's wrong with the dog? Poor dog, what's going on?" Oh, that's her name. Oh, maybe you shouldn't name your dog after your favorite team, you know. There's a Bill Cosby skit about that, but I won't share that with you. I'll share it with you later if you remember that one. You don't remember that one? Well, let's just say he said, "I thought the dog's name was Gosh Darn It." Anyway. So anyway, I'm off track. I've got Bill Cosby in my head, and that's not a good place to go when you're trying to preach. So $60 billion on pets. Now, don't hear me say God loves you like you love your dog, because that would be bad theology. But we do like to lavish gifts and things, and I love to give my dog people food, which is like bad, but she's like 12, and she's pretty awesome, and she gets treats and biscuits from me. I want to lavish it on her. Any of you cat people, you like to lavish love on your cats? I heard that cats, they say that cats have 9 lives, but they really have 2. They have theirs and yours, right? But we love them, and we want to lavish on them. When we talk about love, we often think of it in terms of emotion or some kind of feeling that we have. And when we talk about what real love is, if you've looked, and I've done a number of funerals in my short but not so short lifetime, and the thing about love is people don't get to the end and say, "Wow, I really felt strongly about this person." Now they do, but they don't really talk about that. They talk about what he did or what she did. She loved her kids, and she had 2 jobs, and she worked hard to provide for them, he loved us. He was always attentive toward us, and he always spent time with us. We don't ever talk about it in terms of, "Whenever I saw Dad, I just got fluttery," or what. We don't talk about it like that. We talk about what they've done for us, because love really is demonstrated more than it's felt. It's a commitment that you make towards someone, and it's sacrificial, something that you give. We say, oh, well, I love you, but if I don't ever act on that, do you really feel the love? No, it's just kind of a word and an emotion. When God loved us, and when God loves us, it is not just something he says, oh, I love you. We can see the actions. We can see what is behind it. We can see who he is for us and to us and how much he loves us. And the best way to see that is during this season, what God did for us, what the Father did, what Jesus did for us, sacrificing his rights, sacrificing his place, sacrificing his throne. And he wasn't even born in a hospital or born in a nice place. He was born in a very lowly place and amongst parents who did not have a great deal and did not even have a place for him to be born when he was. He sacrificed all of that to be with us. And the word is, the word became flesh. He dwelt among us. He lived among us. It's called incarnation. He came in flesh, in meat, in bones and flesh. God himself, the divine one, to earth, to us, to see who he is. And that happened to be the plan from the beginning, from the very beginning. When God decided what he was going to do for us in the very beginning, he decided that he was going to make us, and we were going to be given life, Adam and Eve, the first two human beings. And he knew that we would probably make the wrong choice. There's a bunch of theology. What did God know? God knew we were probably going to mess up. And yet, he made us and created us. Now, if we think from God's perspective, that's a pretty bad deal, right? That's a pretty stupid thing to do. But you and I have the same heart, don't we? How many of you sat down, now let's put aside the romantic side of this, but how many of you sat down and said, hey, we need to have kids? And you sat down to paper, some people do this, sat down to paper and figured out how much it would cost to have a kid. Now, if you did that, you probably never had kids, right? They are not cheap. They are not inexpensive. And all of the things, you know, and the guys are pretty cool about it. Because we get, all right, how much is milk? All right. How much are diapers? All right. How much can we put, you know, can we put a little clothes on the dude or the little girl? Little girl gets extra. All right, we got food, we got a place for them. All right, we're good. And we think it's all keen. And the wife says, oh, we need some cute little blah, blah, blah. And then we've got to get the room set up. And then we don't think about all of those things quite as much as they do because they're in the nesting mode. And things. So we're like, all of a sudden, we're like, all these expenses, unexpected things that come up. Or do we have adequate health insurance? Do we have health care? All of these things. Having kids is the dumbest financial decision you could ever make. I have friends, they couldn't have kids, and so they kind of adopted everybody else. But the cool thing about kind of adopting nieces and nephews is you send them back to mama, and then you can go and buy your guns, which is what Charlie does, buys his guns and whatever he wants to. And wherever he shoots a bobcat, he just gets it taxidermied and puts it on his mantle. He doesn't worry about whether or not he has enough money to do that kind of thing because he's got it. Because his kids aren't always going, oh, yeah, Dad, I forgot. I need $20 for this at school. Anybody relate, you know? Yeah, at 10 o'clock at night when you're going to bed. Oh, yeah, you just barely made it through the week. And then, oh, I made it. And then the kid, oh, I need $10, Dad. Oh. And the ATM just starts coming out. There you go. When God looks at us, he doesn't look at us like a financial burden any more than you do with your kids when you see them. You ever get upset with your kid? I mean, really, really mad at them. And then they go to bed and you've gotten on to them and you kind of wake up in the middle of the night and, you know, to do whatever you need to do when you're like our age or whatever. And you, and then you get up and you're going in and you look in on them, make sure they're okay. You ever do that? You make sure the kid's breathing, you know. I don't see his chest rising. Oh, okay? And you check on them, you know, we all do that. And you look at them and you go, oh, that's the beautiful. You were mad at them 2 hours before. It's the most beautiful thing you've ever seen, right? This is how God feels at you. From the beginning, he knew that we were going to be a mess for him. Problem, trouble, even for his entire earth. But from the beginning, from the Bible says, from the foundations of the world, he chose us. And he chose to love us. And his love, well, it's enough. So let's look here at our passage. It's on your page here. When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of heaven and earth. I pray that his glorious unlimited resources will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ. Those too great to understand fully, then you'll be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever. Amen. God's love is enough. The sermon today, the message today, when we go to the cemetery and stuff, they teach us that we need to have like a thesis or one really solid takeaway. And usually they're like a full sentence and all that good stuff. I'm trying to convey a message. I just want you to hear one simple thing today. Just one. God loves you. He really loves you. He really, really, really loves you. All things aren't going well in this world that he created. It's kind of our fault as human beings. We kind of jacked it up. But God loves us so much. His love is so wide. It is so deep. It is so long. It covers all of the depth and the width and the height and the cubic feet of all the universe. His love is wider than that. You think about all of the universe, and you think about just the earth and what we can see through the Hubble telescope and even beyond. God created all of that. And what's really cool is when you think about it, not only did God create all of that, if he created all that, he's actually bigger than all that. And his love is bigger than that for you. Think of how wide the universe is and beyond, and outside of even that dimension, God loves you that much. Knowing what we would do, knowing who we would be, he loves us. And Jesus, who is God, said, I will go and I will redeem these people. This is how much I love them. This is why we have Christmas. It's not the $60 billion for your dogs or cats or your hamsters or whatever. It is not $1 trillion for each other. And people say, well, Christmas is a time for giving. No, Christmas can be. It's good to do that. But Christmas is a time to remember that we didn't deserve God, and he came down to us because he loves us that much. He loves you, and it's enough. When we think about who Jesus is and what he has done for us, we think about how he didn't have to do what he did. Again, you parents are like that. You do things for your kids, and they don't ever know it, do they? They wouldn't even understand the kind of sacrifices you make. They don't see you toiling at work. They don't see you stressing over the budget and the month of, too much month at the end of the money. They don't see all of these things that you do for them, small or large, from laundry to picking up their puke and wiping up their poop. I mean, they don't see all of these things. And most of us, when we finally get into our 20s or so, and we have kids of our own, usually make that phone call. Anybody made that phone call? Mom, forgive me for everything. Or when you have teenage kids, Mom, forgive me for everything I ever did to you. And they're like, what's he doing now? You know, they know exactly what you're talking about. Even though God knew what we would do, even though Jesus knew who we were, he loved us and said, I want them to be with me. I want them to know who I am. Now you look over the Old Testament and you'll see a lot of fear and a lot of judgmental. No matter what somebody else has done, no matter what human being has taken what God has said and made all the rules just overwhelming, or made it so judgmental or so harsh or so difficult and just made it like that, does not mean that that's who God is. And it does not mean that God still doesn't love you. We human beings, we mess up everything, including and maybe especially religion. And we enforce it on other people. And one of the reasons that we do that is because we haven't experienced who Jesus really is. We haven't experienced his actual love for us. Because when we experience and understand who he is and what he has done for us, we don't see morals and things like that that he has done for us as a burden. We see them as something that we respond to in faith and in trust to him and in love return to him. God does have standards and God does have a way, and we can see those in Scripture. But people take them and they start beating you up with it, and they start beating us down with it. And the reason they do that is because we should actually feel compassion toward them, because they haven't experienced really who Jesus is. Because what Jesus does when he comes into you and comes into your life and the Spirit of God comes into your life, you experience his love. You experience who he is. And you realize, he did not have to do this for me. He did not have to come to earth for me. He did not have to endure the struggles of even just living on earth, period. He did not have to teach us who God, who the Father really is. He did not have to go to the cross and die for us. He did not have to be resurrected or stay in a tomb for 3 days. He did not have to do any of that. But he chose willingly to do it. And when we see what he has done for us and how much we don't deserve it and how we really deserve hell, we deserve to be apart from him, pushed away from him forever. And yet what he did was he came and he had to sacrifice himself for us. When we realize what he's done for us, we see, all right, God really does love me. Often we feel like somebody doesn't love us if they don't do it the way we think they should. A lot of our feelings of toward God have to do with, does he bless me? Does he give me what I want? And God's intention is not to give you what you want or what I want. God wants to give you what you need. And what you need is him in you. And what we need is eternal life. And what we need is to see the world completely differently than our flesh and our worldliness allows us to see it. We see the world in terms of $1 trillion of Black Friday where we trample other people. That is not a picture of heaven, is it? That's kind of a picture of hell. Everybody wanting a little bit more. They even have a book called Swim with the Sharks, How to Lead Amongst the Corporate World of America and Survive. There's a whole book about this. How to get through, how to make it through and not be the eaten, but ultimately that particular book and the mentality behind it is how to swim within and how you can be the dominant one. And all that ends up doing for us as we climb the ladder of success is knocking people off as we go. And inevitably, all you got to do if you follow college football, you get all the way to the pinnacle. And what do? You get one of those 6-win seasons, 5-win seasons. You don't win any conference games. Boom, you're fired, right? Now, the $10 million buyouts, that's pretty cool. But you lost your job. And on the way down, what happens? Everybody that you've knocked off the ladder on the way up is kicking you in the groin as you go back down, right? It's tough. But when you do things on God's way, when we do things the way that God intends for us, we don't have to worry about swimming with the sharks. We have to concern ourselves with this, being the followers of the One. And when we follow the One, not only for now, but for eternity, we focus on the things that matter. And we receive the things that matter. And the thing that matters most is God's love for us. His enough. And it overflows. Love overflows from us. We receive it, and it overflows. It is not this. Do the rules. Live the morals. Do the right thing. Try really hard. Do what God says. And if you do and you live life that way, guess what's going to happen to you? I've seen it in my life. I've seen it in millions of other people's lives. Thousands. Well, I've seen it in hundreds. But I've seen on the internet all the people that are doing that. Millions of people that are doing God a favor by doing what He says. There are people all over the world doing that. They will be bowing down 3 times today, doing the same thing, reading their little prayers and making their little nods and taking their stops. And then Christian people will be doing all kinds of ceremony and ritual, trying to appease this God up here. Oh, I hope He accepts me. I hope He's okay with me. And we try to get, you're going to be frustrated. You're going to be a failure because we can't do it. And you're going to be angry and bitter. You're going to be the little church lady on Saturday Night Live. That's what you're going to be. And nobody wants to be around that mess, right? That's who we become. Cranky, judgmental people, because we don't have the love of God in us. And that's the blunt truth, guys. They look wonderful on the outside. And Jesus had a whole bunch of those guys called the Pharisees. Boy, you look good. But He says, you know, on the outside, you're like a casket. It looks pretty. And oh man, people spend lots and lots of money on funerals and things. There was an ad, my buddy Chris posted it, and it was an actual ad, and it said, for sale, casket, $300. It says, it's been in the ground for 3 years, but we decided to go another way. Buy it as it is, $300 or best offer. Now, let me tell you, if it's been down for 3 years, and don't worry about going another way. Just leave me down. You know what I'm saying? But they were concerned about the kind of casket they were able to buy when whoever died, and they had a better one. Don't be exhuming my bones and put me in a better... That's creepy, but it's also stupid. It looks great on the outside, but inside, what are we? Just a pile of bones. And that's what Jesus told them. You look good, but inside, you're dead. Why? Because they don't understand the number one and the first purpose of your life. You want to know what it is? The first purpose of your life is not to serve God. It is not to follow Jesus. Your first purpose in life is this. Let God love you. Because you can't love Him first. You can't get to Him. You can't appease Him. You can't make Him happy. He's not some totem God that you can throw sacrifices before and say, okay. They bled a little. They sweated a little. They did a ceremony. It's not about any of the ceremony or ritual to Him. It's all about our heart and who we are in spirit. You've got to let God love you first. And when you let God love you and you receive Him and you put your faith and your trust in Him, then what happens to the love? It fills you. And what does it do? It overflows. You ever do that on your coffee? Now, the Keurigs now, they do it exactly right most of the time, unless they're jacked up. But you ever do that? You pour your coffee and you're not paying attention. You're trying to listen to your wife for the first time in a while. And you're like, doing that. And what happens? It overflows, you know? Yeah, you spend it. Yeah, it's over. It's over, because there's only so much. That's how the Christian life truly should be lived, guys. We're so full of who God. It doesn't mean we're always happy or things are always great or they don't have sadness or we don't have difficulty, but we have peace that passes. And we'll talk about peace later, but peace that's beyond understanding, because we know that no matter what, whether death, life, circumstances, situations, difficulty, hardship, whatever's going on, no matter what, we know this. God loves us. God loves you. You are made in His image. He is your creator. You are not an accident. You were not here by chance. You didn't get thrown around in the molecules and flung around on the stardust and all of a sudden appear, which is intellectually stupid anyway. But regardless of whether that could even happen, God loves you. He created you by design, with a purpose, uniquely. And He puts you here on this earth for a reason. You matter. You're important. And whether your life lasts, like a child of mine, for less than a day, or whether you live to be 100 or like Methuselah 969, your life has a huge, huge impact. Whether it be short or whether it be long, you're significant. What kind of impact it has, we get to choose some of that. And we can choose to live it for ourselves and run over everybody on Black Friday, or we can choose to let God love us and then overflow onto other people and overflow into other people's lives and overflow. And it's a matter not of doing or efforting, it's not really a word, but or trying, or, oh God, I just want to. It's a matter of being still, stopping, and letting God love you. Letting God love you. And when He loves you, His power will come into you, and you can overflow into other people. He'll show you every step of the way. But you first have to drop your guard. You first have to drop yourself. Drop your pride. You have to die to all of that. Got to let God love you first. Because He does. And during this season, the image and the truth of what God has done is the most significant way to see it. God left heaven, and He came to this earth. Why? He loves you. He loves you. Jesus really loves you. So let's pray. Will you receive Him today? Will you receive His love? I'm going to invite you now, if you've never done that, to receive the gift. We get gifts at Christmas. We don't earn them. We don't buy them. We don't merit them. They're given, and we receive them. We just hold out our hand and take it and receive it. And this is what Jesus has done for us. So you can pray a prayer and receive Him today. Something like this. Jesus, I have sinned. I have messed up. But I believe You're God's Son. And I believe, God, that You love me. And that You sent Your Son to die for me. And to be to live again for me. And I pray now that You'll forgive me of my sins. I lay them on the cross. And I pray that You'll send Your Spirit to live inside of me right now so that I can know Your love and I can receive Your gift of salvation forever and ever and ever. And I commit myself to following You as You love me. I want to overflow into love to other people. So show me how to do that step by step. And I trust You by faith. Thank You for saving me, being my Savior and my Lord. Now, Lord Jesus, we pray for those who may have just received You as Lord and Savior. We celebrate with You, Lord. for new people who have come into your kingdom, have come into your family this season. That's why you came. And we thank you, Lord, for that. And we pray now as believers who have already followed you, that we would remember today and that we would receive today all afresh and all anew your love for us, your genuine, deep, wide, long love for us. God, you came. Jesus, you came. Jesus, you came to earth and you loved us and you showed us love and you showed us who you were and you showed us what you wanted from us, and that was for us to receive you. You died on the cross and you rose again from the dead, and you now reign at the right hand of the Father, and you sent the Spirit to live in us, and we can live through you. And we pray, Lord, that this week, we go through Christmas and we look at bills and all different kinds of stresses that we have, Lord. We pray, Lord, that we would not forget that even in the chaos and in all of the rush, that we would be at peace and at love with you, receiving your love, remembering this season is about you sending your love toward us, showing us your love. And God, you don't just love us, but it is your nature. You are love, and you've shown us what that is. You've shown it mostly through your Son, Jesus. So we praise you, Lord, for being our great Savior and our great God. We love you as best we can in return, because you loved us first and you loved us most. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you're on the right